And when we do these, Jennifer, if you're listening, I don't know if you're here, but if she's not here, Sandra, if you're up there, the series that we're doing is the principles of the kingdom. The principles of the kingdom are the laws of the kingdom. And when we're talking about principle, the word law means the same thing. Law and principle are the same word in the Bible. And a law is that which governs us. In the context of the negative, laws are not made in the constants. It can be in the strictest sense to where that it governs. That is, that there is the law of gravity. Amen? Whatever goes up must come down. And the only thing that supersedes that law is the law of the airplane, which is speed and lift. That overcomes, we know that bumblebees are able to do the same thing, but how many knows nothing is able to stay up forever? And eventually, gravity will what? Pull it down. Because the only thing that sustains it is only for a time. That is the law of gravity. There is the law of the spirit that is the law of sin and death. That is a law. That is that law is broken. The law was broken by Adam. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, we see where the law of sin and death came into the world. Romans chapter 5 elaborates on that law, where it tells us that because of his disobedience, because of sin, death entered into the world. And because of death, amen, there's only one salvation from it, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which created another law that superseded the law of sin and death, out of Romans chapter 8, that superseded the law of sin and death, and that is the law of the life that is in Jesus Christ. So those are the laws of the Spirit, and those laws govern us. And there's many laws, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the principles. We're talking about the principles of the kingdom of God. We're talking about the principles of the kingdom. We've been talking about the principles of faith and the word and prayer. We've been doing a series on that, just concluded, and we'll be doing the practicum or the practicality of prayer on Wednesday night on how and where and when we should pray. Don't want to do that today because God's given me something else that I'm really excited about. It's another law, another principle. But the law that is found, the law of the life that is in Christ Jesus, is a law that has superseded the law of sin and death. But there is the law of faith. The law of faith is this, that faith is that we must come to God and that we must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen? We know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? So we know that faith is the belief in God. That's what it is. It is, I believe. I believe without doubt. Everybody say that. Faith is believing without doubting. And so that is a process. We understand that's a principle. That is a principle because we understand that everything that we receive comes by faith in our life. That as a believer in a spiritual kingdom, that faith is the currency by which that we receive everything in our lives. There's nothing that we receive just by hoping it to be so. Because we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We know that hope is the bridge that brings us to faith. We know that it's in hope that where faith is built, where faith is constructed. It is that place that we walk. That is the place that we build. Without hope, there cannot be faith. Hope is not a dream. I don't want you to think that. Hope is not a dream. Dreaming is a part of hope. But it's not the fulfillment of hope. Hope is that which becomes a reality in your heart. But faith is that which reaches out and takes and possesses the thing that you're hoping for. How many hears that? I said faith is reaching out and taking hope and making it. Because hope is always where? Hope is always in the future. Everybody say that. Hope is always in the future. Amen. I'm hoping to get a better job. Do you have a better job? No. But you're hoping to get a better job. I'm hoping to make more money? Are you making more money now? No, I'm not making more money, but I'm hoping one day to make more money, and I want you to hear this closely, is that you have to be careful because the principle of faith, hope is a part of that, but you must remember something is this. If you live in hope too long, what happens is you'll never come into faith. Hope eventually, what it does is it becomes like vapor. It becomes intangible. Hope is a dream, but what makes it a reality is knowing and reaching out to the future and bringing it into the now. Amen. You say, Pastor, it's difficult to understand. That's why that is a mystery. That's why that I want you to know that faith does not come by your works. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is God's rhema. It's God speaking to your heart. It is God speaking to your heart. It is allowing God to be able to speak to you so that your heart becomes changed. See, this is the problem. We wonder, we say, why doesn't God heal? Why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God do that? Because what happens is that we have not nurtured our heart enough to come into faith. God really spoke to me a word this morning, and I'm hoping I'm going to be able to get into that part of it. But I want to begin here because prayer is the vehicle that God uses. The principle of prayer, we've been very extensively into that. We've been talking about the spirit and the heart of prayer for the last few weeks, but here is that vehicle that God uses. God uses prayer. So God uses prayer to be able to build us into a place because it's in prayer that we hear the voice of God. It is the vehicle by which God uses to speak to me for me to be able to hear the will of heaven. If I do not have a prayer life, it'll be difficult because the majority of my life will be by accident. I will stumble into things. I will occasionally hear because somebody else hears for me. How many knows that we hear? How many knows as a parent you're hearing for your children? How many realizes that's a principle? Come on. Maybe that's why some of you are having problems with your babies. Because you think they're mature enough telling you what should be done and where they need to go and what they need to listen to and what they need to watch. Now, as a parent, God commands us to be able to hear for our children. Why? Because our children can't hear. They have to learn to hear, just like we had to learn to hear. It's a process. Hearing has to be matured. Hearing has to be developed. Amen? Because how many knows that it is a disease with children, increases during the teen years, and it's not broken until around the 25, 30 year of a person's life, especially males. But how many knows that deafness is a part of children's lives? Amen? And how many knows that many times they have to be healed and delivered from that spirit of deafness? Amen? How many knows that? How many has laid hands on your children and healed them of that foul spirit? Raise your hands. Amen. How many has God touched and healed you of your deafness? Sure He has. How many He's reached down? God doesn't want to, but at times, how many knows that God reaches down into our life to get us to hear? See, God knows how to speak to you. How God speaks to you isn't the same way that God speaks to me. Amen. You might be a gentle. Now, Karen's a gentle soul, so I'm sure the Father is sweet and loving and kind and lifts her up into His arms, you know. I guess. I don't know. I'm not there. So I don't know how God speaks to her. But how God speaks to me is not the same way that God speaks to you. And it is amazing that God not only can speak to me in English, He can speak to Juan in Spanish. Amen? And I want you to know that the voice of God many times at first is going to sound like your voice. Why? Because that voice within you is a voice that becomes submitted to God. And in submitting that to God, God uses your voice. you keep waiting for, you know, Charlton Heston to speak out of you. Some of the young ones are like, who's Charlton Heston? The problem is that I would be worried if another voice was coming out of me or speaking to me. That's a whole nother issue right there alone. See, you are overthinking this whole process. You're overthinking the process that's within you of how that God wants to speak to you and how God wants to minister unto your life. You're overthinking the process and it's becoming complicated and you're staying away from something and you're ignoring something. But in this part, I don't want to go through it. I just am trying to lay a foundation here of where I'm headed. But prayer is the vehicle by which that we are able to hear the voice of God. This is where we hear from heaven. It's learning to hear God's voice. It's learning for God to, it's our place to be able for God to train, to mature our thinking and our spirit. I have so much there, but God spoke to me on this principle because I really believe that God wants to speak something so definite to you this morning. I want to talk about the principle of sowing and reaping. And so often what we have done is we've used this principle to say, well, this is the principle for money. We limit the principle of sowing and reaping if all we ever talk about is money. But at the same time, we need to talk about money. We need to talk about our needs. And here, Paul makes an astounding statement. Chapter 4 of the book of Philippians is one of the most powerful chapters here, in that Paul is speaking to us about prayer, supplication, about anxiety, about thinking on those things that are positive, those things that are pure. Talking later on in the chapter, he is discussing that, look, I have been abased, I have abounded, but in all things I've learned to be content in all things, or I've learned to be independent from every circumstance. And the reason why he's learned to do that is through prayer. And I want you to understand that you may have that dedicated prayer life, but there's something else that couples with that, and you need to understand this, that if you never learn the community of prayer, if you never learn to have other people that you're praying with, then you are missing one of the greatest benefits in the body of Christ. Because I want you to know that I am a human being, and there are times that where I come to, that I have gone as far as I can go. Now, I have to go pretty far before I'm ready to just chuck it in. But there are times to where walking through life, walking in everyday life, where there are some things that how many knows? The enemy knows where to punch your ticket. He knows what to bring to your life to bring those pressure points because he wants to pull you from the presence of God. How many has ever been in that place to where you've went to pray, but no matter how long, it's been 30 minutes, and you feel like you've been no place? In fact, you're more tired now than you were when you started praying. How many can relate to that? Why is that, Pastor? Because there are times to where you can't pray by yourself. Sometimes you need someone to come along. I said sometimes even Moses in the heat of the battle, it got to the place where he couldn't do it by himself any further. But Aaron and Hur had to come along and they had to lift up his arms. And as long as they lifted up his arms, the battle proceeded and the victory was theirs. Sometimes you need an Aaron and Hur to come along in your life and to grab your left arm and your right arm and lift it and say, until we see the victory, we're going to stand with you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to agree with you. But we live in a society that's so isolated, so segregated, so filled with prejudice. It's made us paranoid, mistrusting. Amen? One time, I had shared my heart with somebody. Are you hearing me? I said I bore my heart. It was not too long, Shane, in my ministry, and I had pioneered this work. And it was a hard work. Amen? It was a hard work. It was a wilderness work. Oh, Lord. It was a dry, hot, barren land. But there I was, digging it out and gotten weary and had shared my heart with some people because I thought the individual was a son in the faith. So this young man and got with some other intercessors, and because I had been dealing with the addictions in his life, and it was a lesson I learned early on. But they wanted to come to the church and intercede for me. I was excited. Somebody wants to pray for me? Somebody wants to believe with me? Wow. I was encouraged, Russell. Until they started praying. And all of a sudden, I thought, well, those prayers seem really familiar. How do they know that? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, because your secret is not a secret anymore. Are you hearing me? It was no longer intercession. It was a correction and admonition session. Instead of having the courage and the boldness to come to me, they wanted to come under the guise of prayer. Have you learned your lesson, Pastor? Sure. Did it make me paranoid? Sure. But I'm over that. Because then you learn who to go to. Some of you got to get past your paranoia. Some of you got to get past your critical spirits. Help us, Jesus. I was your favorite preacher until just a minute ago. You can't get past your past. And your past affects your prayers. And what it's affecting is the thing that I'm preaching about this morning. It's affecting your harvest. I'll say it one more time. I said it's affecting your harvest. Because what is happening, and I'm going to read this, and then I want to go to Mark 4. Because I just feel the Holy Spirit just speaking to me. I got bunches this morning, but we're going to go here. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Are you there? Philippians chapter 4. Jesus, you should be there. I preached for 20 minutes already. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Look what it says here. But my God, look what it says, shall supply all your need. Amen. Does your Bible say all? How many translations do we have here? Amen. Everybody have some different, I know you got some different translations out there. I went into every Darby Amplified Message, American Standard. You know what they all said? All. It never changes. He said all. Now look what it says there. He shall supply all your wants. Every want that you want. See, some of us can't discern between what our wants and what our needs are. And the only way that you can discern that is that you've got to allow God to deal with your heart. And some of our hearts are where we're going to go next here in Mark chapter 4. And he shall, I'm going to finish 4:19. And he shall, but God shall supply all you need of what? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 4 today. Mark chapter 4. I want to go to verse 26 first. And look what he says here. He said, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. So he's telling us, this is what the kingdom of God is. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first of the blade, then the ear, and after that, the full corn of the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. He said, this is how the kingdom of God is. So the kingdom of God is like sowing seed. If you will take your Bible, if you have a Bible today, or you have some kind of electronic device today, just hold it up right here. And I want you to look at it today. Look at your Bible just for a second. Lift it up. All those that have a Bible or electronic thing, look at your Bible. Right here is a bag of seeds. That's what you have in your hands. You have 66 bags of seeds in your hand. In that bag of seeds that you hand, that's what he calls it. This right here is the kingdom of God. He said, this is the kingdom of God. It's like a man who takes seed and sows it into the ground. I want you to hear that. He does what? He sows it into the ground. He sows what? He said he sows the seed. We know the seed is the word of God. That's what we know that. We're going to see it here in just a second. I'm going to teach, and I want you to hear today because, listen, there are some principles here. This principle could help some of you to be set free from some areas in your life. There is a slow harvest. There is a misharvest. There is a stunted harvest that is happening in your life. God wants to free you from that. God wants to bring that to your life. Why is it? Well, because he has given us power to gain wealth. Now, a lot of people use that, and that word in its simplest form means resources. Whether that is army, whether that is wealth, whatever it is, God has given us power to gain wealth. Now, we like to take a hold of that and shout a little victory dance around in a circle that God wants to give me wealth. He's given me power. It doesn't say God's given you wealth. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he's given you power to gain wealth. Amen. God's given you the ability, and if you have the ability to get up every day and go to work, that's power to gain wealth. Well, I ain't working for no $4.36 an hour, brother. Well, that's not the point. The point of it is that your mindset is wrong. That whatever God has supplied for you, he's given you power. And $4.36 in the hands of God is greater, because God can take $4.36 and he can multiply that and give you power because your heart and your attitude is right. And he can show you how to have a harvest even with $4.36. Now, if you don't believe that, you won't see the harvest. That's why some of you having a hard time with the harvest, because you have limited God down to the hours that you are working and down to the dollar amount that you are receiving. And as long as it's about your power, if you don't realize God has given you power to gain wealth, you miss the whole point. Are you hearing me? Good teaching. Look what he says here. So here it is. We understand that. But here's what God spoke to me out of the 14th verse of that same chapter. I preached this message many times, but I saw it a completely different way today. And I want to share that with you here in verse 14. The sower soweth the word. Everybody say that. The sower soweth the word. Now we know that we look at God as a sower. And we know that's who he's talking about here. But how many knows that God has made us a sower because he has sowed into our life. We know that according to Genesis, we know that God has made us in his image and in his likeness. We understand the worlds were framed by the words of faith out of God's mouth. And how many knows that we've been made in the same image of God, and his life and his light and God's DNA lives on the inside of me. I'm not the same person that I used to be. I'm not just Mark Workman, the son of Oki and Ruth Workman anymore. I've been born again. I have come through a whole different birth canal of the Spirit. I am no longer just... He made us a receptacle, or 14 through 26, as well. You just have a stony heart. And you have a thorny heart. And you have a wayside heart. Have we not looked at that? And then the few privilege, right, are those, you know, those certain preachers that have good heart, because they must have a good heart because some of them are prospering and there's certain people that just really prosper. So they must have a good heart. But how many knows there are people in this world who are prospering financially, and you know and I know they don't have a good heart. So maybe we've been looking at this wrong. This is what I contend. This is what I feel the Holy Spirit shared with me this morning. He's not talking about individuals. He's talking about different areas of our life. He's saying, there's areas of my heart that are thorny. And there are certain areas of my life that are stony. And there are certain areas of my life that are on the wayside. They're on the outside. They have not been redeemed. But there are places in my life that are good ground. We've taken this, well, there's something wrong with me. I can't go any further. I'm done. Amen? I've been wounded. I've been hurt. I've been abused. I've been rejected. I've got this thing in my heart, and I look at my life, and I'm a loser. Right? Must be something wrong with me. I must be rebellious. You know, I've went from church to church. I went from place to place. And I just, there must be something wrong with me. I can never be happy. There must be something wrong. I contend today that it's not the fact we have looked at this the wrong way. I want you to know that you're not just one-sided. You're not just one kind. I want you to know that your life is made up of different layers and different sides. And there are areas of your life that God came and it is redeemed. It's an area of your life that nobody can touch because it's been redeemed and it's been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you are at your worst and the enemy is on every side attacking you, telling you that you're lower than a snake's belly, there is a voice on the inside of that good ground that says, no, ma'am, no, sir, that area has been redeemed in my life, and no matter how much you remind me of it, it's redeemed. And that area of your life, it prospers. But the problem is, here's what God showed me. You're not just a little patch of soil. You're a garden. You're a garden. You've limited yourself. We've limited ourselves thinking that we just are potatoes. I can bring up potatoes now. If you're new here this morning, we've been on a long fast of vegetables and fruits. Guess what's not going to be at the Super Bowl tonight? Do not. I repeat. Do not bring vegetables tonight. If it don't have fat in it.
If it ain't a carb and you didn't have to roll it out, don't bring it. Can I tell you, you're not just about your hurt. See, you've made your whole life about the thorns. Oh, come on. God's telling us. I said God's talking to us this morning. You've made your whole life about the stony area of your life. That's all you can talk about. That's all anybody wants to talk about. And that's all the enemy reminds you about. All he reminds you about is the wayside. All he reminds you about is the stones. All he reminds you about is the thorns of your life. That's what he reminds you about. He reminds you, and that's all your life is. In fact, the thing of it is, he's talked about it so much, that's all you can hear sometimes. And your whole life, your mornings, your evenings, your life has revolved around your hurt, has revolved around your wound, has revolved around your disappointment, has revolved around your divorce, has revolved around your sickness, has revolved around the lies, has revolved around all that has been wrong. But I want you to know today, you're more than your hurt. You're more than your pain. You're more than your thorns and the rocks of your life. You're more than it. You're more than all of it. You're more than your addictions. You're more than all your enemies. You're more than it all. That's why, thank God, that there's some fertile ground in our life. Amen. You see, you keep trying to take care of the things you can't take care of. I know, on your way to the good ground, you're stumbling over the rocks. Amen. The thorns keep pricking you. Are you listening to me? You keep passing over the hard ground. See, the wayside is the outside ground. It's the places where people walk, the sower walked. And the more that people walk, the harder that ground got. That's the ground where people have walked on your life, have walked on you. And that's that hard place of your life. That's always on the outside. But I want to tell you today, there's a fertile place in you. There is good ground in you. Where's that good ground, Pastor? It's the ground where Jesus lives. It's the place that Jesus lives. And I want you to know you've been blinded because I want you to know it was just a little patch at one time. But you see, God's been working on you. God's been laboring on the inside of you. God's been sowing in you. And where there's been no harvest, I want you to know the Lord of the harvest is going to bring a harvest to your life. And what began as a little two-by-two patch, that place is growing on the inside of you. You forget, he's never stopped working. He's never stopped laboring. He's never stopped praying for you. And, oh, I want you to know others have stopped. They've stopped believing in you. They've stopped praying for you. But your Lord and Savior has never stopped believing and praying for you. He still is working on you. But the truth is, some of those areas, we haven't surrendered. Why, Pastor? Because we're so used to being bitter. Because we don't have nothing else to talk about when we're with some people. Come on. All we can talk about. Yeah, they did it to me, all right. You know, you can't trust any man now. They all the same. They're just all dogs. Men are dogs. That's what men are. My God, you were 14 years old when he said he wasn't going to take you to the dance. Come on, all men are not dogs. I know, some of your daddies were drunks. Some of your daddies were abusers. So on average, strong man is an abuser, dominating, authoritarian. No, honey, not every man. See, it's not a sin to be strong, but you got to cup up with the gentleness of the Spirit. Are you hearing me? you may be seeing in their life is maybe you haven't went far enough in. See, we don't let people sometimes that far into our garden. We're used to protecting. So all people see is sometimes the outer part, which is the hard part, where the world has trampled over us and even the church. So it's hard. We have to protect ourselves. The thorns, the stones. So the truth is, some people, all they've ever seen. So the last memory is a stony memory of our life. Will you do something with me today? I want you to make a sign. Yeah, I want you to make a sign right here. That stony, that thorny part in your life. Are you ready to write on the sign? I want you to put it in red. You got it in your head? Big white sign. Nice, bright red paint. Here's what I want you to put on the sign. Ready? Work in. Let me preach the message. Work in progress. You want to make it the garbage dump of your life. You keep trying to build fences around it, and you wonder why you come back and the fences are always torn down. I'll tell you why. Because the Lord's tearing them down. Because He can't work on them. He's got to get through. That's why sometimes you wonder, well, why is this happening in my life? What's going on? Why? Because God's working on you. But sometimes you can't get past those things because you're whining all the time about how bad your life is. You don't know my life. You don't know how bad it is. Hey, the workman clan can stand up here and we can stand here. There's people in this congregation that are going through some horrific things and you would never know it because of their confession of faith, because they realize work is in progress.
It's not finished yet. You're not perfect. Come on, give yourself a break. Let yourself off the hook. Let God do what only He can do. Quit taking responsibility for everything in your life, every bad thing in your life. Quit glorifying all the things that have happened in your past. And begin to stand and declare that God is working on these areas of my life, and I'm going to surrender it to Him and let God complete what He started in my life. Think about it a few years ago.
See, the 30, 60, and 100, maybe it's the result. Because you're not getting full production if you got stones and thorns and unproductive soil in your life. Maybe what we're talking about here is that, Teresa, when God begins to remove some of those stones, and you let Him remove those places. Scott, that He begins to burn off some of the thorns in your life. Why, a year ago, look how far some of you have come.
Quit thinking about what you don't have and what it isn't, and begin to rejoice the fact that look how far you've come in 1 year. How God has blessed your life. Why a year ago you said, I can't make it any further. A year ago you said, I'm not going to live with this. I'm done. I'm finished. But here you are. Here you are worshiping. Here you are declaring the word of the Lord. Oh, I believe some stones and some thorns and some bad ground has been made fertile in your life. Well, you need to stand right now and give God the glory. Every person in here. Here's the principle out of Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. While the earth remaineth, now your King James is going to read seed time as one word. But in the Hebrew, seed and time are separated. So it should read, while the earth remaineth, seed, dash time, and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Here's the principle. Seed. Help me. Time. Harvest. We love the harvest. We don't even mind the seed. But it's the... I love the harvest. That's exciting. But waiting on God to do it. But see, here's the problem. The problem is, you can't wait around picking your nose. That's why God's giving you prayer. That's why you got to cultivate and pray and watch over it. That's why you got to feed that. That's why you got to confess it constantly, the thing that God's put in your spirit. Quit talking about your stones. Quit talking about your thorns. Quit talking about how bad your life is. Because the more that you sow those seeds, you keep that harvest running in your life. But Pastor, it's a reality. Of course it's a reality. Of course it happened. Well, Pastor, then what do? You put up the sign, work in progress. I know that some of you are new today. We're not... Pastor's not being hard. We've been acquainted with pain. Some preacher told me one time. Said, you need to quit talking about your dead son. We know that you're using it to get attention. Sure. He's a moron, but I mean... Now, that's a potty word. It's not allowed to be used outside the context of my message. I said, I understand why you feel the way you do. I said, it's because you're afraid. I said, I don't preach in the context of how bad I am. I went through my grief. See, it's all right to grieve. But you see, God took that part of my garden. God not only gave me a son back, gave me my daughter-in-law, who was my first son's fiance, but gave me an equal son who is a true son to me in every sense of the word. Not only gave me a son, but gave me 5 grandchildren on top of it.
priesthood, when you come to that part of the garden, there's no gravestone there. It's a victory garden now. How many are saying, Pastor, I think this year I want to make some victory gardens instead of some graveyards in my life? Instead of some thorny grounds, how many are saying, Pastor, I want to make some victory gardens in my life? I've lived in the thorns and the rocks of my life for too long. I've lived in sorrow and grief and misery for too long. And it's time to have some victory gardens. Amen. Amen. Because there's nothing better than to go out. See, it's sweeter when you have experienced the process. When your hands have got in there. That's beauty, to be able to have your own garden. But you know what is sweeter? What's sweeter is when you didn't have to dig it. You didn't have to plant it. Oh, come on now. Amen. And somebody brings you sweet tomatoes, you never had to raise a sweat. Come on now. Amen. There's a time when you've got to sweat. Sometimes you had to do it. But God wants to bring you into a new day, to give you lands that you didn't have to buy, houses you didn't have to build, vineyards you didn't have to plant. God wants to take the struggle out of the blessing in your life. It's time to leave your past behind. It's time to say, what is unfinished in my life is a work in progress. God is the one who's taking care of it, not me. See, that's part of the issue. I can't keep my hand out of it. I know. Some of you look so sweet, meek, and mild. Like you wouldn't harm a fly. Watch you accidentally tuck a stick of gum from a store. Why, if you were gone 50 miles down the road, why you come back and you give. Bring that gum back. Apologize profusely. I'm so sorry. But some of you can't keep your hands to yourself. We have a hard time. God's trying to do it, and we keep coming along, putting up the fences. God tears them down, we keep putting them back up. I don't want nobody to see these. I don't want nobody to know. I don't want nobody to look at my life. This is as far as you can go in the garden. Now you can stand outside and you can look. Hello? Yeah, but I'm... No. You can't go in there. You can't go into that part of my life. It's private. You're so private. You stop letting God deal with your heart. But how many's tired of living in the graveyard of your life? Come on. That sadness that you can't get past. Come on now. Oh, I know about it. Oh, I know about it. I know what that sadness looks like. You can cover it up all you want. But how many times have you looked in the mirror when you're by yourself? And it wasn't a sign of joy or peace. How many's ever done that before? Accidentally looked into the mirror. You're like, oh my God. Come on. We're talking about the real deal today. We're talking about where reality is. What am I going to do, Pastor? Quit sowing, number one, to that thing. Quit talking about it. Quit talking about the problem and begin to seek God for the solution.
I have, Pastor. I'm crying out and I've cried and cried and cried. No, you haven't. You're not crying out for an answer. So it's like, just like Grayson. His mama, She brings upstairs to give him a bath. Does he love the bath? Loves it. When he's put in that water, he's like, yeah. He loves it. Loves that water. That little no-butt skinny thing, man. Loves that water. But the moment his mama takes him out of that water, you know, he's fine. Okay? Doesn't like it. But then she brings him out to the room to put a diaper on him and to put his clothes on him. And he starts throwing a fit. I said to him the other day, I said, you are such a baby.
Does he know why he's crying? He can't process it. Don't have the ability to. Some of you are hurting. Don't even know why. You can't even explain it. Some of the things that I said to you today, it clicked in your spirit. Yeah, that's it. That's what's going on in my life. That's my past. You want to hear something else? You know what they are? Some of you are living in a haunted house. Spirits that are dead in your past still haunting you today. Still haunting your life. Haunting your past. Something will come up and all of a sudden you identify it and you put it, yeah, that's it. It's trying to get me again. What was that I heard? Is that something I hear walking? They're ghosts. You need to wake up because it's not reality. It's a nightmare. Wake up! Wake up and come into the newness of life and the newness of day. Your past is over, and I declare to you today that behold, you are living in a new day that the Lord has made for you. You can finally look on to those areas of your life and realize He is the one who's working on those areas. And I, Shane, am going to trust Him to do it. Because I can't, Penny. I can't. Linda, I've tried. I can't do it. It's too big for me. It's too hard. It's too hard. I'm not smart enough, Tony. I can't do it, Jim. I've tried. I cannot tell you. Through my own stubborn will, my bull will, I can only tell you the things that I have stood against with my own human will. My family will tell you that my will is like flint in things. Many of you that have been with me for 4 years know how we've had to stand through many things, and it's taken a strong will to be able to do that. But I want you to know there are things in my life that I come to that I do not have the will to overcome. I need someone greater, stronger, more able than I am. I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Come on, raise your hand. Come on, sing it. Come on, sing it. I am not alone. Oh, yes, Father. That are standing here today. I had weeks. When your heart is full of something to convey it to your people. As you're standing there with your hands up, I just want you to say, God, I'm done with the graveyard. I'm done with the graveyard shift. Come on. I'm done with the graveyard shift. I'm done going out and visiting the dead. I'm done my life being a haunted house. Come on. Some of you need to evict some memories of past friends, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers. I wish that every mother and father was loving and kind and giving, but some of them were abusive and they were ugly and they were terrible.
and your life was wounded and your life was broken because of something. But I want you to know your life is more than about stones. It's more than about thorns. It's more than just that hard place in your life. I'm telling you right now, there is something good and righteous and lives on the inside of you. There is something beautiful, and it's a productive place and a fruitful place. And the enemy has lied to you too long. You don't have to believe that lie anymore, that you are a reject, that you're stupid, that you'll never amount to anything. You'll never be blessed. It is a lie. It is a lie. It is a lie. Come on, I want you to declare today it's a lie. I am who God has said that I am. I am a fruitful vine. Listen to me. Say it to me. I am a fruitful vine whose bough, B-O-U-G-H, bough, goes over the wall. Come on, say it again. I am a fruitful vine whose bough goes over the wall. Now listen to me. You know who that promise was made to? Joseph. God said, the pit you were put in that was supposed to mean your death and your destruction, no one could keep you from being fruitful. I took you from that place. I took you to a foreign land. I raised you up and made you the second man in charge so that you would be able to save your family and our whole nation. You are a fruitful bough. You think you're dead. You think you're gone. But God has made you a fruitful vine. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The seed of God. Everything in the beginning was created by the literal word or seed of God. Everything was. Then he declares to you, his greatest seed, man, I have created you in my image and likeness, and I have given you dominion over it all. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Jesus said this, until the seed of corn falls into the earth and dies, it can't live.
What?
His disciples said, what? That's stupid. They were always like, is he okay? Is Jesus taking peyote again? What? But see, he knew that you can't multiply the seed until there's a death. Because when the seed falls into the ground, the seed is not the kernel on the outside. That's just the outer shell that's carrying the seed and the baby on the inside. Oh, yes. Oh, that's what I'm going to preach again. But the seed has to fall into the dark earth. Then moisture begins to work its way, and heat begins to work on the outer shell, and it then breaks open. Are you hearing me? And when it breaks open, the seed on the inside that had been covered up and hidden, and nobody can see it, all of a sudden, it begins to sprout forth out of that ground. And it grows into a stalk. And out of the stalk, it creates ears. And out of those ears, it creates corn. Peel it back, and there are hundreds of pieces of corn. Multiplication happened because of one dead seed. And you thought, I'm dead, man. I can't go any further. Well, welcome. To multiplication. Because God's been saying, finally, she's dead. Finally, he's given up.
finally, he's going to let me do it. How many is ready for multiplication? Then let yourself surrender to the process of God. You've been complaining about the process. You've been saying, why is all these things happening to me? Because Joseph said, all that you thought that was meant for my death, God meant it for my good. You can't see the good because all you do is keep talking about, it's unfair to be in this pit. It's not right that I'm in this prison. I didn't do anything. Why are they accusing me of that? Hello? Quit complaining about the process. And say, God, my life was not meant.